Hello and welcome to Zukowski Rogers Flood and McCardle's Illinois Local Government Law Podcast. In this special edition podcast, the state's pending budget and direct financial impact on local governments is discussed by host Brad Stewart. Background of the Local Government Distributive Fund is provided, as well as a summation of an additional surcharge that local governments would have to pay to the state for collecting and distributing sales tax revenue.
And hello, listeners. This is Brad Stewart, and we're doing, as you know by now, a bit of a special edition of our podcast to specifically address the proposed budget at the state level, prominently featuring a proposed 10% cut to the local government distributive fund. So let's dig right into this. The budget bill, which is Senate Bill 2217, proposed by Senator Brady, has several components of it, which some of the more prominent features that don't directly impact local government, but indirectly do, are the personal income tax increase from 3.75 to 4.95%, as well as the corporate income tax, which would be from a 5.25% up to 7%. Now, for those who may not understand the dynamics and workings of the local government distributive fund, we'll start with a bit of a history lesson here. The local government distributive fund was enacted in 1969. Now, this is historically significant because there's really two ways to look at the LGDF, which is, one is it's basically a gift or an endowment from the state based on income tax generation back to the world of local governments. Or another way to look at it is it was a bargain for exchange between basically the General Assembly when the Illinois Constitution of 1970 was ultimately ratified and put into motion. Historically speaking, the Illinois General Assembly did push for the amendments to the Constitution, and it looked like it was not going to be a successful effort. Then Mayor Richard Daley, this would have, of course, been senior, and I'm taking this as a direct quote from Understanding the Illinois Constitution by Frank Kopecky and Mary Sherman Harris, an article that they had put together, states that Mayor Richard Daley played an important role in Illinois and the Constitutional Convention. He was not at the convention, but his son and many other Chicago Democrats were. He strongly supported home rule for local government. In fact, Chicago was willing to compromise on other issues to ensure that this overriding concern be met. His support for the Constitution, although given late in the campaign for ratification, probably was crucial in the campaign for its adoption. And the significance of this is not the one man, you know, Mayor Daley at that time, but the fact that local governments really had the power to influence the outcome of whether or not that constitution was adopted. And one of the major concessions that was made to the units of local government was that there would be the LGDF, and it was put into place at that time where 10% of all income tax that was generated was distributed out per capita to the various units of local government. So that was its origin, and again, I would submit that this is not so much of an endowment or a gift received by local governments over this period of time, but rather it should be viewed as more of what we were guaranteed in exchange for pushing through the Constitution. And also, on a related note, part of that Constitution restricted local governments from imposing their own income taxes. So it very specifically was supposed to be tied into a statewide uniform system of basically the mechanism by which local governments would receive some funding from their residents and an income-generating mechanism that otherwise wouldn't exist unless the LGDF was in place. So with that, what happened in 2011, as you may recall, was that there was a a decrease in the LGDF, not directly, but indirectly. And here's what happened. At that time, there was the temporary increase from 2011 through 2015 of the income tax to all residents in the state during that time period. So what they did with that same legislation that increased the temporary income tax rate was they decreased the amount that went to the local government distributive fund from 10% down to 6%. Now, at the expiration of the 2015 term of that temporary increase, it was statutorily then increased to 8%. But even today, as we sit here in 2017, the LGDF has already been cut effectively 2% of what, you know, the units of local government would have been receiving prior to 2011 with that that adjustment. So part of Senate Bill 2217 is this proposed cut to the local government distributive fund. Furthermore, there's also a proposed cut to, it's not a cut. I'll explain how this is phrased. It's an administrative fee for the state administering sales tax revenue back to the units of local government. So this is basically a 2%. You could talk about it being a service fee or some sort of a convenience fee that local governments are now basically subject to paying the Department of Revenue or the state for the benefit of receiving their services in distributing, collecting and distributing local sales tax. So that's, in essence, the impact on local governments of the Senate bill, the current budget that's being proposed. So just to put numbers to this, just as a very ballpark way of looking at this, the per capita impact for every municipality is going to be about $10. So that means if you're a village of 25,000 residents, that you're likely going to see approximately $250,000 decrease in the distributive fund. And this is going to have various impacts on different municipalities. I'm not here to say what's right or wrong. However, for some additional contemporary context, it was 2 years ago that there was a proposed cut of 50% of the local government distributive fund. So I guess in some ways 10% is a more tempered way to approach any cuts to the local government distributive fund. Well, also want to just mention that there's, I guess let's talk about the procedural mechanism just because that seems to be the big topic right now as we're waiting to see whether or not the House overrides the governor's veto. And just to explain this, what happens here is because both chambers of the General Assembly have already approved Senate Bill 2217, it was then presented to Governor Rauner. Governor Rauner vetoed the bill, so it got sent back to initially it went back to the Senate. The Senate did vote to override the veto, which requires 60% vote at the Senate level. That's 36 out of the 59 senators statewide. There are 37 Democratic senators who, by themselves, if they stayed unified on the override, had the ability to have passed that chamber with the override. On the House side, today is Wednesday, July 5th. The House has actually failed to have a quorum to even hold session today or earlier this week. So the plan is that it's going to be presented tomorrow to the General Assembly, or not to the General Assembly, but to the House for a vote on July 6th, assuming that there's a quorum at that time. It would require 71 votes out of 118 of the possible representative votes to override the governor's veto. It should be noted that on the initial passage of Senate Bill 2217 that there were 72 votes in favor of it. So there would seemingly be one spare vote if no representatives switched their vote in support of the Senate bill at this time. So that's an update of the Senate Bill 2217, the current proposed budget, and how that may impact local governments. But just, you know, to factor in the bottom line impact, again, think of that about $10 per capita impact on your community. And also sales tax is going to vary, you know, enormously from municipality to municipality. But if you, you know, looked at the bottom line of what the sales tax received from the state is, also factor in a 2% loss in that. And that's the bottom line impact of how this is going to affect municipalities if it does indeed override the governor's veto and become law. So with that, we look forward to catching up with you next time, and thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Illinois Local Government Law Podcast. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe, comment, or review. Thanks for your support.